Praise God. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. As we get into it, Lord, speak through me. Father, I thank you this is a word in season. I thank you that the people heed what you say today. And Father, I thank you that our church will be different. I thank you that our church is changing. I thank you that people are going to pull up their bootstraps and do what they know to do, take their place in the body of Christ. Not be a neutral body part, not be a stagnant body part, but one that's pressing forward into the things that you have for us. And Father, we love you, we praise you, we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I would encourage you, though, to pray for the Dufresnes. They had two kids, Grant and Stephen. And, I think about Pastor Nancy and the kids. And so pray for them and lift them up and pray that God would supernaturally comfort them and give them closure. Pray that God would give them closure, because how terrible. Here your husband, he just got done preaching a glorious service and was on his way to preach a service in Texas. The questions that must arise, amen? Pray that they would get closure on that, amen? Glory to God. Well, like I said, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to ask people, do your best to be here next week as well. This is a two-part series where you heard a little bit in the prayer where I talked about us pulling up our bootstraps and actually doing and being the body of Christ that God has called us to be. And so these go together, and they're a word in season for our church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's read this here. In verse 12 it says, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Now skip down to verse 14. "For the body is not one member, but many. And the Bible likens the body of Christ to a natural body. And he says in verse 15, "If the foot shall say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" Basically, it's saying, you have a hand, and the hand, what if the hand all of a sudden said, "You know, I'm not a foot, I'm not part of the body"? No, we know the hand is a part of the body. It's not the same as the foot, it's not the same as the knee, it's not the same as the ear. It's different, but it's still a part of the same body, isn't it? "And if the ear," verse 16, "shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing?" That'd be weird, wouldn't it? If we all walked in here and we were one big eyeball. So if I was God, that's probably what I would have done. "If the whole were hearing, where would there be smelling?" If we were all a big ear, man, we wouldn't be able to smell pizza and all that good cooking that you guys make. "But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But if they are many members, yet but one body. And the eye," verse 21, "cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." What's he saying? For the body to work perfect. I think you say, "I don't need, you know, my little toe is not important." Take a hammer to your little toe and see how important it is. Right? And in your hand, when it says here, "The eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of you,'" the eye needs the hand, because the eye can see something that it wants to grab, but it needs the hand to do it. Right. Just like the hand has the ability to grab, but it needs the eyes to see to grab it. Sure. So what he's saying here, and he's liking it, he's saying that we're all members of the body of Christ. We all are different in the body of Christ, but we all have a function to make the body of Christ run as a well-oiled machine. And so God never intended for the body to be stagnant. God never intended for you as the body of Christ to do nothing with your Christianity. And I was, and again, this message came out, I believe it was Tuesday night in the Dr. Webb meetings, that the Lord just constructed the whole thing. Dr. Webb was talking about the strength of his church. And Dr. Webb had one of the most strongest churches in America. We know this because Brother Hagin, who was the foremost prophet of the land back in the 80s and the 90s, he would go into that church, and he said it was one of the two churches, I think, that he said he could immediately walk in and get into that prophet's office. He said other churches, he had to teach his way through a bunch of garbage to get people's mind. He could walk in there instantly, and there was excellence. There was order. The Spirit of God was there. There was a willing atmosphere. And Dr. Webb had one of the most excellent churches. And he said this. He said, the making of my church and the mark of the strength of my church, he goes, "I learned it early on, was based on one thing, and that one thing was prayer. When he said that to me, the Holy Ghost said this in my spirit." Now, this will bear witness to everybody, and I want to give you a little bit of a break, because the reason that we're failing in this area is not because people don't care. It's not because people are just flipping about it. the majority of the reason we're failing in this is because of ignorance. And so today we'll be ignorant no more. But when I say this, it'll bear witness with you because many of you will be able to say, that's God. Because as soon as Dr. Webb said the making of it was prayer, the Holy Ghost said to me, your church is not praying for you like it should be. And there are people that have been in this church that have never prayed one prayer for me. I know that by the Holy Ghost. And again, it's not because you don't love me. It's not because you don't care about the church. It's because you're of ignorance and not knowing. And he said, your church, the majority of your church is not praying for you like it should be. And if it doesn't change, there will be consequences. That's what the Holy Ghost said. And I knew exactly where I needed to go the next 2 weeks. And so today, I'm going to share with you from the Word of God ways and things and how you can pray and how you can actually be effective for the body of Christ. Do you want to get before Jesus and him say to you, you did nothing for me. You just kind of received blessings and you didn't do anything to change it. No, I want to get there and have him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful. And now this was a wake-up call to me because I have a pastor as well that I need to pick up the slack in some areas as well. And so I'm going to show you in the Word of God scriptural prayers to pray for your pastor. And also at the end, we're going to look at some things to be saying over your church. And I've actually made it simple for everybody. I printed out, I didn't have time to do it on anything nicer. I printed out sheets that I'm going to hand everybody that you can put on your refrigerator, you can put at home. And I am pleading, and we'll see in the Word of God why I'm pleading with you today. I am pleading with you that you be faithful with this on a daily basis. It's not something that'll take all day. It's not something that will maybe even take more than 5 minutes, if even that. Now, some people I'm hoping will get a call in their spirit to lift me up. You know, every making of a wonderful church had people that sat on the watchtowers that prayed in the spirit for prolonged. I hope God speaks to people, but I'm not even asking for that. I'll let God talk to you about that and put that call on your life to be somebody that will lift me up on an extended basis, praying in tongues for me and being a watchman that can pick things off in the spirit before they get into the church and before they hinder the church. There is a great door and effectual for this church. See, we forget and we think that, well, this is just little old South Dayton. No, miracles are happening here. And what God wants to do here is so mighty. That's why I would tell you, if I could just explain it in my spirit, we're on the verge of, we're on that verge. And just because that's there, it won't automatically happen. I can't do this on my own. If you leave it up to me, it will fail. It will absolutely fail, and I'll give you Bible on that. So I've made it simple, and I'll show you at the end how quick, but if you'll be faithful to do it, we'll see great change in this church. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So if you would, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Praying, glory to God. You know, one minister said this. He said, it seems that God can do nothing. God can do nothing on this earth unless somebody prays. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. Actually, hold your place in there, but go with me to Acts real quick. I want to show you something. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. Now, I'm a daddy of two kids that I just can't get enough of. I see Abby, and I want to be able to squeeze her so much harder than I'm able to squeeze her now because it wouldn't be good to squeeze her as hard as I want to squeeze her. And I see Caleb, and I love him so much, and I look at you, and you won't understand this, not being a pastor, but the love that I'm not just blowing smoke when I tell you this is my favorite time of week, and then I look forward to seeing you. I know that sounds pastoral. It sounds, well, that's what you have to say, but you're always in my thoughts. You're always in my prayers. Your faces are always before me, and I want to be here to finish my course and to pastor you and to see all that God has for us. And so I plead with you today to be a doer of this word, and the Holy Ghost warned us. And so let's. And I bet if we took a poll, we'd find that the majority of the people here would say, "That's right. I have never lifted him up, or I hardly ever pray for my pastor." And again, that's not to beat you up or to be mad at you. It's just God revealed it to me, and I know it's the truth. And I think if we took a poll, people would say, he's right. And so let's make sure that's not the case anymore, because things will fail. But Acts chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church." Of course, this is when the church was exploding. The gospel was getting out. Now notice what he did. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now, this is what you have to understand. Now, again, was this something that happened to Dr. Dufresne? We don't know yet. But we have precedent of a general in the body of Christ being killed by the enemy. And it was James. You say, who was James? James was one of the inner three of the 12. There was the 12 disciples, but then when Jesus went off to pray or something marvelous was going to happen, he always took with him Peter, James, and John. That was him. The enemy always goes for the head. The enemy always has a target, because if he can take out the top, it'll trickle down through. Well, in this church, this isn't nothing to brag about, but as the pastor, I head up this church. I lead this church. And so in this body of believers, in this group, guess who's got the biggest bullseye on his back? I do. And the Bible says he killed. The devil was actually able to work through a human being to kill one of the greatest leaders in the body of the body of Christ at that time. James, one of Jesus' inner three, was taken out, was killed. And it says in verse 3, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter. Why wouldn't he? Peter, James, and John. Let's go. Let's get them all out of the way. We're not going for the ones that aren't doing anything. Let's go for the ones. That's why you have to understand something about Dr. Dufresne. You don't go from a judging standpoint. That man had constant assaults on his life, nonstop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Why? He was the general. He was the prophet of the land. He's had so many young men and women under him that he would bless and help, constantly under assault, constantly under attack. And it says he proceeded further to take Peter also. So he said, wow, I took out one. He actually got to one of the disciples. In verse 4, when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Glory to God. Yes, the Lord just said, you're going to all respond and things are going to change. Praise God. Just came into my spirit. Just excitement and joy. Oh, praise God. Intending to Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter was therefore kept in prison. Now notice this, verse 5. Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church. Who? The sheep. The people prayed. Now, well, let's see what happens first before we go any further. Without ceasing, the church prayed. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Isn't it amazing that James and his own anointing, James and his being so close to Jesus, wasn't able to keep himself from being killed? It wasn't James' fault. It was the church's fault. James was on fire for God. Jesus wouldn't have had him that close had he been wrong or been wrong doctrine. He was a mighty man of God, and he wasn't able in his own ability to stand what the enemy brought against him. That's how hard the attacks were. And it says in verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him. And was not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Anyways, what happened was Peter was delivered. Now, isn't it interesting that the only thing that the Bible tells us was the difference between James and Peter was when the church prayed, Peter was delivered. You know what happened? James was killed and it woke the church up. Now, God gave me this message before, Dr. Dufresne, but I'll tell you what, there's no more louder wake-up call than the general of God being killed. And so it's interesting that these messages go hand in hand, but I stand up here in conference to tell you that this message was birthed days before he passed away, that the Lord gave this to me from the Holy Ghost in the Dr. Webb meetings. But still, it should remind us that this stuff's possible. And if the only thing that the Bible says was the difference between James being spared and Peter being spared was people, was you praying for your leader. And so I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter what God vision God gives me. It doesn't matter the dreams God's given me. It doesn't matter the utterance God's gives me. It doesn't matter how well I preach a sermon. It doesn't matter the faith that I have. If I don't have my church praying for me the right way, this thing will not stand. It don't matter how anointed you think I am. It don't matter who thinks what. James was killed. The best of the best was taken out. And then the best of the best was spared because people prayed. Do you think it was God's will for James to die? No, but God couldn't do anything till someone summoned him. Why? God has no authority on this earth until the Christian invites him into the earth. And we're learning that in our Wednesday night service. And, that, and by the way, that's why we can't have Wednesday night. I'm actually going the following Wednesday to California for the memorial service. And I just need to be on call this week in case I'm needed for anything. Pastor Tim and Pastor Michael are on their way out there. And I just want to make sure that if I need to do anything around here that I'm available. So that's why we're canceling it. But anyways, it wasn't God's will. I mean, that's not good when leaders are taken out. That hurts the body of Christ. And so the only difference was that prayer was made. And so I'm going to give you scriptures today. And I'm going to send you home with it. If you take notes, great. If you don't, I took notes for you today. And there's prayers for your pastor, but there's also daily confessions that we can be speaking as a body. When the Bible says when the disciples spoke the same thing, oh man, heaven and earth moved, man. And so we're going to make sure we're doing this stuff. And I ask for your faithfulness. I ask for your faithfulness. Praise God. And I'll go to 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. We're going to just get right through these. Praise God. And why do I say I covet it? I don't want to die early. I don't want to be taken out. I want to fulfill the plan of God that he has for me. Amen. And see, here's what you don't understand. When you pray and lift me up, see, what I'm trying to tell you is I'm not that good. It's what I'm trying to say. And it should show you a little bit of humility that I'm saying to you, if you don't do this, don't plan on this being successful. It does not rise and fall on me. I'm not that good. I'm not that anointed. And I'm not that important. And so please know that I don't think that of myself. I am sober about this, and I know the truth, that without you, without your prayers, without your help, this will go to a point, and then the enemy will get in, and he'll have a way in. But let's close the door to that. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. Now this is the Apostle Paul, the most anointed man in the New Testament, who got revelations from Jesus Christ. Look what he says as a minister. He says, finally, brethren, sheep, pray for us. What's he say, number one? That the word of the Lord may have free course. The first prayer I have on here for your pastors, I pray that the word of God would have free course and Pastor Mike preaches. What does that mean, free course? That the word is able to go about and not be hindered and do what it needs to be, it needs to do. We create an atmosphere where the word can be spoken, and when it's spoken, it doesn't get stopped by a wall. It doesn't get stopped with a fence. It doesn't get stopped with unbelief. But the word can have free course. You know what free course is? I think about those rafts that you lay on in those rivers, those lazy rivers, and you're just kind of floating right down through everything. That's the word of God having free course. Going over here. Oh, it needs to go into this person for this. It needs to go into this person for that. Well, that'll be Paul wouldn't say pray for it if it would automatically happen. The word of God will not have free course, and the word is what will change people. So number one, again, I wrote these for you, or typed these for you. Pray that the word of God would have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. What's that mean? That the word would have a place of exaltation in this church. That people would know that this church is a word church, that this church is important, that number one, beyond anything else, the word of God is what's number one in this church. If that could automatically happen, Paul would not have said, brethren, pray for us. He knew. He wasn't saying, waste your breath, it'll happen anyways. He's saying, listen, if you don't pray this way, it won't have free course and it won't be glorified. And the word is the only thing that's going to change this area. The word is the only thing that's going to change this area. Okay, verse 2. And that we, he's talking about the ministers here, may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Boy, I wish they were praying that for James. Herod was unreasonable and he was wicked and he killed James. You would be absolutely probably astonished to know some of the attacks and some of the things that people try to do to people in leadership on the outside just to cause so much, just to, at their family, I mean, just things. Just, you would be surprised. Well, this is the way to keep that junk out. And so pray, Father, I pray that Pastor Mike and his family would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And Paul's saying, listen, if you don't pray that, unreasonable and wicked men will have free play in my life. That's what he's saying. Notice Paul's saying, I don't, on my own anointing, Paul, anointed as he was to preach, to write 2/3 of the New Testament, he's saying, I in my own anointing don't have the power to stop unreasonable and wicked men because that's the size of the target on me. I need the body of Christ to pray that. So it's on here. It's on here. Praise God. So that's three things. The word of God have free course. the Word of God be glorified, and that Pastor Mike and his family would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And number four, Ephesians 6 and verse 19. I'm not too far from being done today. Glory to God. Like I said, this ain't going to take long. See, sometimes we think, oh, the only time you works is when you pray super long. No, Brother Hagin would say this. He'd say, stop worrying about how long you pray and try to get everything that you need to get done in prayer in the quickest amount of time possible, right? That way you can have time to do more things. Ephesians 6, in verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And then he says this, and for me. Paul's saying, now please pray this for me, church at Ephesus. He said, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The last one on the list is that pastor would have boldness and utterance. Now, praying these prayers is praying Word of God. Every time you pray the Word of God, it works every time, because the Word is God's will. So when you pray this, you can be guaranteed that we'll have the results. When the Word can go forth, when I can be kept in a place of safety, when I can be kept in a place of boldness and utterance, and the Word going forth, that's when the church is going to start growing. That's when the church is going to start increasing. Amen. Now, in case you think, oh boy, this is just another thing I have to do, let me show you what this looks like when I pray for my pastor. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you give pastor, that the Word of God would have free course and be glorified when he preaches. I pray that he and his family would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, and I pray that you'd give him boldness and utterance. That took 30 seconds of your life. But yet, you say, oh, then it can't be that. No, see, you're trying to do it in the flesh by works. See, we can just, boom, hit the mark that quick. If I can get you to be diligent and faithful and just praying those four things, we'll see change in this place. We'll see change in this place. Now go to Genesis 11 and verse 6. And we're going to close. Genesis 11 and verse 6. Now this is the story of the Tower of Babel. Remember when they were going to build a tower up to the heavens? And they all had the same language? And it's interesting what the Lord says in verse 6. He said, and the Lord said, behold, the people are one. And they all have one language. They were all speaking the same thing. Now look what he said. And this they begin to do. And now look what he said. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. And so what was his response to making sure that the people couldn't do that? He confounded their language and changed what they were saying, because he was saying, when people get in one accord, saying the same things, there is great power, and nothing shall be withheld from them. And if you study the book of Acts, when heaven moved and when the earth shook, they were all in one accord, saying the same thing, rejoicing the same thing, confessing the same thing, and power happened. And nothing shall be restrained from us if we can all get our tongues saying the same thing. And of course, we don't have to turn there, but we know what Mark 11 and verse 23 says. You'll have what you say. So this is what I got on here for this list to say. Again, this will take you another 30 seconds in your life. Number one, that the plan and purpose of God will be accomplished in my church. That people are supernaturally drawn to and blessed at my church. That the spiritual gifts, and I'm going to just real quick mention something about this. The spiritual gifts would be in manifestation in my church. Now, I haven't taught a whole lot on the spiritual gifts. It's coming. But one thing about the spiritual gifts, there's 9 spiritual gifts. Let me just mention to you real quick what they are. Now, when spiritual gifts happen, they're not a gift that people carry around with them. The Bible says they're as the Spirit of God wills. When God chooses to use them, it's not some gift that someone carries around or can turn on and off when they want. That's unbiblical. It's when God chooses to manifest. Let me tell you what they are. They're in 3 categories. The power gifts, which are gifts of faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healings. Those are the power gifts. And then there's the utterance gifts, which are tongues and interpretation of tongues, diverse kinds of tongues, and prophecy. And then there's the revelation gifts, which are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Those are the 9 spiritual gifts. And the Bible says when those are in manifestation in a church, that everybody profits. And we've seen those here on Wednesday night. We saw it on a Sunday morning. Remember when I called out the chest heart thing pain? And the young lady came forward. Well, what was that? That was a word of knowledge about that the Lord showed me. That, well, when that happens, it blesses everybody because they know, wow, God's moving. How do he know that? There's been things God has given me, word of wisdom about people's future, and I'll tell him. Word of knowledge about people's life, and I'll text them or I'll call them and say, this is what the Lord's speaking to me. And it bears witness with their own spirit, and it excites people, and it profits them, and it benefits them. Well, when people are supernaturally healed at the drop of a hat, that blesses people. When someone comes up and walks away healed, that blesses people. Amen? When tongues and interpretation of tongues are given, that blesses people. And so, but the Bible says something interesting without teaching on this. It says that you have to covet spiritual gifts, that you have to desire spiritual gifts. That means if you don't desire them and you don't covet them, they won't show up in our church. So this is all you have to do. Father, I pray that the spiritual gifts would be in manifestation in my church. I want them. I desire them. That's all you got to do. That's all I do with the Lord. And I'll tell you, as I've been doing that, they've been increasing personally in my life. Number four, Father, I pray that thousands of dollars above expenses comes into my church each month. Now, we know it takes money to fund this gospel, but here's what's cool about it. If thousands of dollars or above expenses are going to come in, they have to come from somewhere. That means God's going to have to increase you as this is happening. So it does yourself good to be confessing this. And then number five, that our church is debt-free. If I can get everybody saying and praying these things, we'll see great, great, great change in this church. We will. And the Holy Ghost said to me, said, the majority of your church isn't praying for you like they should, and if it doesn't change, there will be consequences. Well, I don't know what those consequences are, but I know I see some precedent. I don't want what those consequences are. And so I encourage you, please be faithful. And I put this at the bottom. I said, thank you for your faithfulness in this. I believe in you. It said, I am believing and confessing that Proverbs 28:20 will come to pass in your life for your diligence. What does that mean? Every day you do this. Twice a day you do this. Whenever you think about it, you do this. It takes you 30 seconds of your life. And the Bible says, a faithful man will abound in blessings. Something this small can change the world. And I'm pleading with you. I am pleading with you. Please don't let this slip by the wayside. And if you realize, oh man, I didn't pray yesterday, pray the next day. Don't worry about it. Don't beat yourself up. Just be diligent in this. And then the last thing I'll throw out, and I'm going to close. I need people that are going to, the Bible calls them watchmen, that stand on the watchtower. That, and I believe that the Lord's going to tap people on the shoulder and say that, you know, it's going to be something that you're going to have to sacrifice. It's going to be something that you're going to have to give of your time. But every ministry that is powerful that I've studied, every ministry that I've been around, there's people in that body that have sensed a call to pray. And not just to pray this prayer. Now, these are powerful in the work, but I'm talking extended times of praying in the Holy Ghost where God can reveal things that, okay, this is going to come into the church. Take care of that in the Spirit. Take care of that in the Spirit. Lifting up the pastor in prayer. Lifting up the church in prayer. And so I'm just asking people to be sensitive to that. Now, do you need God to do this to you before you start praying in tongues? No. So I ask you, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, my goodness, after you pray this, maybe you challenge yourself, you know what? I'm going to pray 5 minutes. What if everybody in here that prayed in tongues prayed for 5 minutes a day for the pastor? Add all those minutes up, and man, we made a lot of power available. And so I'm asking you not just to stop here and say, what does that look like? Father, I just prayed for my pastor the best I know how naturally. Now, Holy Ghost, you're my helper. Help me to pray for my pastor in the Spirit. And you take off in tongues, and the Holy Ghost will help you pray for your pastor. So I ask for people to do that, but also for people to be sensing that maybe someone already in the service, God is saying, he's talking about you and nudging you, and you're getting that poke. Just obey that. There's a blessing for you in that, okay? Praise God. So after I dismiss service, I'm going to give Jeff this stack, and he's going to stand there and hand these out to you. Please take one. There should be enough for everybody. And please be diligent, and please be faithful. The body of Christ needs you. Amen? And next week, I encourage you, it's part two of this message. Please be here, because we need people to hear this to go forward in marching in what we're doing for God. Amen. Love you all. You're blessed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Father, I thank you we have prayers in this church. Father, I thank you we have faithful people in this church. Father, I know there's a great door and effectual in this church. I know there's opportunities to do great things in this area. Father, I know that there is many people who are waiting for us to manifest, who are waiting for us to take our place in the body of Christ, in prayer, in the word, Father. There's people right now who are destined to go to hell that won't because we'll take our place. There are people that are living hell on earth in this town and the towns around that don't know that help is on the way. And Father, we thank you so much that their lives will be changed and we'll have a part in it. And Father, we'll reap rewards in this life and in the next to come. And Father, we just are so grateful for all that you've done. We thank you that you've laid it out so clear for us in the Word. You haven't made it hard. It's not something that You know, some of us have really busy lives. It's not something you're asking for hours a day. Praise God. I thank you, Father, you open the eyes of the people and they realize their pastor's heart and the cry from their pastor of how sincere that I am, Father, that they would heed that and they would hear that and they would take this upon themselves and they would actually be doers of the word, Father. And Lord, I thank you that this church is going to new levels. I thank you the glory will fall in this place in 2014 and it will not look the same at the end of the year. And Father, I give you the praise and the glory for it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you're listening to this message in here or if you're on live stream, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? If your answer isn't yes, that means you need Jesus. That means you need Jesus. And so the Bible says that Jesus died on the cross for you and he rose again. And he said that you can accept that gift of eternal life just by calling on his name, just by believing in him. So is there anyone in here you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life? Nobody's looking around. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You could just raise your hand if you have never accepted Jesus. Anybody at all? I didn't think we'd see any hands in here, Father. But Lord, I don't know everybody that's listening by live stream. So if you're listening by live stream and you want to receive Jesus, just pray this prayer and mean it from the bottom of your heart. Just say, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again. Please come into my life. And I thank you for saving me. I thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I love all of you. Thank you so much for being diligent by faith. I say thank you already before you even do it. And you're dismissed. Before you go, make sure you grab one of these. And love you all. We'll see you next week.